All right, Erev Tov, Erev Tov. So this week's Parsha, Parsha's Ve'era, really is picking up off of a cliffhanger. We had a cliffhanger at the end of Miketz, right, with the brothers confronted with the accusation that they stole Yosef's goblet, and Vayigash picks up. So too, at the end of Shemos, is a real cliffhanger. What happens at the end of Shemos? It's not like at the height of the tension, but at the end of Shemos, at the end of last week's Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu really just lets loose on God. It's Perek Hei Pasuk Chaf Beis at the end of Shemos, Pasuk Chaf Beis, page 316 in the Art Scroll. Vayashav Moshe la Adonai, Vayomer Adonai, Lama Hariosa, Lama Zeh, Lama Zeh Shlachtani, why are you doing bad to these people? Why have you sent me? Since I came to Paro to speak in your name, you've done bad to this nation, and you didn't save them. And Hashem responds to Moshe, now you'll see what I'll do to Paro, for with a strong hand, I'll send you out, and with a strong hand, I will drive them from the land. And then, so, meaning, Hashem doesn't explain himself. At the end of Shemos, Hashem doesn't explain himself, meaning Moshe comes with a taina. Moshe comes with a claim to God, like, what's going on? You told me, tell Paro to send them out, and you said, tell the Jewish people the time of redemption has come. And since I've come, it's only been bad. And Hashem says, now you're going to see. What do you mean? Why now? What was the response? And then we come to Ve'era, meaning Hashem's response is you know, kaviyachu, we don't want to be chutzpah dik to God, but it's almost like lacking. So then we come to Parshas Ve'era. Vayidaber Elohim el Moshe vayomer elav ani Adonai. Now this is the answer. Hashem as Elohim speaks to Moshe. We spoke about this in the past. Rav Pam has beautiful Torahs on Parshas Ve'era years ago. We spoke about this, about the back and forth of the names, but Elohim, which is Din, speaks to Moshe, and he says to him, ani Hashem, I am Hashem Rachamim. And then he continues with the names. Ve'era el Avram el Yitzchak vel Yaakov be'el Shaddai, ushmi Adonai lo nadati lem. I appeared to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov be'kel Shakai, with the name of Kel, God, mighty, Shaddai. That it is enough, right? That name of Shakai is, the Gemara in Chagiga tells us, the Balatanya, whose yahrzeit is tonight and tomorrow, the Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch, Reb Shneur Zalman of Liadis, Chusagin Aleinu, says that the name Kel Shakai means a name of restriction, a name of pulling back. Ushmi Adonai lo nodati lam. They never knew me by my name of Hashem, of Yud-Hei and Vav-Hei, meaning a name of the truth of Hashem, meaning a full exposure, if you will, to God. And Hashem tells Moshe. Now this is the difference. This is what he says. Ani Hashem. To Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they only saw a part of me. They only saw the part of me that was mitzumtzum, that was constricted, that was held back. But the name of Hashem, the name of Amitus, the truth of my existence, lo nodati, that I didn't make known to them. But v'gama kamosi esprisi, I'm going to fulfill my covenant that I made with them to give Eretz Canaan and the land that they dwelt in to their children. And I have also heard the cries of the Jewish people that Egypt is enslaving them. And I remember my covenant. L'chein emor l'vnei Yisrael, ani Adonai. Therefore, tell the Jewish people, I am Hashem, the name of Yud-Hei and Vav-Hei, and Avotzesi, V'tzalti, V'gaalti, V'lakachti, right? The Arba Lashon Shel Geula, the four expressions of redemption. V'yisi lachem l'Elohim, V'idatem ki ani Adonai, Eloheichem amotzi esem mitacha sivlos Mitzrayim. So over here, there's a lot of wordplay, a lot of going back and forth with the names of Hashem. Like, what's going on in terms of the names of Hashem here? So as we said, the name of Kel Shakai, that's a name of restriction. That Hashem told Moshe, he's answering Moshe. He said, you know what, Moshe? The name of Hashem, the Avos never saw. They never saw that. You know why you're in Egypt now? You know why they're suffering now? Because out of the darkness comes the greatest light. There has to be darkness before the greatest light comes. And that's Vayera Vayivoker. And therefore, to be able to express my name of Yud-Hei and Vav-Hei, my name of Hashem, of Adon, of Master, of Transcendent God, so we have to first go through the Sivlos Mitzrayim, the Avoda of Mitzrayim. You have to go through the difficulties. And from the difficulties will come this great light. right? And this is something that we've spoken about many times before, that that's the way that it works. You look throughout Jewish history, and when there's time of great suffering and Mesiras Nefesh for God, so there is a great, we spoke about this Hanukkah time, right? There's a great response from Hashem. We spoke about it Shabbos morning by Hanukkah. And that's what Hashem's answering Moshe. He's answering Moshe here. You know why the suffering? You know why that even now that I said that the redemption's going to come and Paro is still giving you a tough time? Because I need to reveal my name of Yud-Heh and Vav-Heh to you. And to do that, we first have to get to sort of like the darkest time. And from that darkness will come the greatest light. And you know, this is something that Shlomo Carlbach always says. Shlomo Carlbach had a beautiful, beautiful teaching. He said, how long does it take to build a tool shed? It doesn't take so long to build a tool shed, right? How long does it take to build a bungalow? It doesn't take too long to build a bungalow. How long does it take to build a house? What about a skyscraper? All of these things, right? Different times. But to build the third Beis HaMikdash, look at how many years it's been taking to build the third Beis HaMikdash. Can you imagine how great this light is going to be? Because it's going to be the light that's going to change all of existence. The whole world is going to be different. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is in fact answering, is being answered by Hashem. That Hashem says, because I need, and again, what is, where is the name of Hashem revealed? Where is Yud-Heh and Vav-Heh really shown to the Jewish people in the whole world? Hashem tells Moshe, Vayomer ki eye imach vizel lecha os ki anochi shlachticha botziacha esam mimitzrem tavdun es elim al har hazeh. That the very essence of why you're coming, Moshe, the reason why I'm sending you, the reason why there's going to be this redemption, is so that you come serve me on this mountain, or you come to Har Sinai. And that revelation of God that took place at Har Sinai was the greatest revelation. It was mind-blowing what happened at Har Sinai. And that was only because the greatest light comes from the greatest darkness. And that's what Hashem is answering. This whole back and forth with the names here, that's what Hashem is explaining to Moshe. Why we had to go through the Shibud, why we had to go to this period of enslavement to be able to experience this great light. And the whole concept, by the way, of God's name being revealed, that's really what we respond to Kaddish, right? The Gemara tells us, Kala ona amen yeheshmei rabba b'chol kocho. Anyone answers amen yeheshmei rabba mivarech lolam ulneil maya to Kaddish, that Hashem rips up a decree. What does that mean, yeheshmei rabba? Think about it. Yehei, it should be, shmei rabba mivarech, his name should be made great and blessed. Lolam ulneil maya, yehem shmei is spelled shin mem and yud hei. We're saying that the name of Yud and Hey should be made great, should be made whole. Meaning because in this world, in this time of darkness, we don't see the fullness of Hashem's name. That's exactly the point that we're discussing. This is exactly what the Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch and the Lubavitcher Rebbe's Chosagin Aleinu talks about. And so therefore, when you answer, Amen, Yehei Shmei Rabba, may the name of Yud Hei be made great. That's exactly what's going on at the beginning of Parshas Ve'era. And when will the name of Yud Hei be made great? We know. When Mashiach comes. That's when the name of Hashem is going to be revealed. But this is something that just like it's on the grand scale, also we know in the smaller scale, when what we find in the macro, we also find in the micro. When a person is going through a time of great darkness, we have to believe that the purpose of darkness is to allow the light to come and shine forth. And that's what a person should expect. And that's how a person has to be Kaveh El Hashem Chazak Yamin Zibecha, the Kaveh El Hashem, constantly putting our hope and our expectations to Hashem. That when we're facing that darkness, that we have to recognize that there will be a great light that will come. And that's really the lesson at the beginning of the parasha. And this is really the lesson of all of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's really what Hashem is answering. Meaning the cliffhanger at the end of Shemos, that we don't have a good answer to, like, wait, God didn't really answer Moshe. The answer is the beginning of Ve'era. When Hashem tells Moshe, you know why this is happening? Because I need to reveal my name of Yud-Heh and Vav-Heh, and I could only do that after we've gone through this gestation period in Egypt. This period that was very difficult, but through the difficulties, we're going to come to the great light. And we know that's, of course, what this whole world is, right? meaning the whole essence of this world is the difficulties that we face here in this world. For what purpose? Meaning, Rahman al-Islam, there's so many people suffer in this world. But we know, Bizchus Emunah Nigalu, the Emunah that the Jewish people had in Egypt, is what brought them through. And we know, Bizchus Emunah Sidin Ligoel. And Chazal tell us it's in the merit of the Emunah that we're going to have at the end of the days also, that we will be redeemed once again. And even with the own private geulas that we need, the private redemptions that we need, to be able to have that Emunah is one of the hallmarks of what it is to be a Jew. Rahman al-Islam, we know that there were Jews that didn't leave Egypt. There were Jews that were not taken out. And many assume, why not? Because they lost that Emunah. They lost that hope in redemption. And that's why it's interesting. One of the six questions we're asked when we get to the Beis Din Shel Mala, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Daf Lamed Aleph. And again, obviously, if this is one of the six questions we're asked when we get to the heavenly court up above, obviously this has to be a fundamental principle in Judaism, right? And what's one of the questions? Tzipisa LeYeshua. Did you anticipate salvation? Did you constantly trust and believe that God could save at any moment, no matter what situation you were in? I mean, why is that one of the six questions? Some say Tzipisa LeYeshua, do you wait for Mashiach, one of the fundamental beliefs? But some of the Farshim say it's much more fundamental than just, I mean, just, obviously, Mashiach. But that's a belief in terms of each and every day, everything that we're going through. Do you have that emunah? And that's why, again, the first question is, did you do business with faith, right? Meaning, when you were involved in the world, were you involved with, as a faithful person, believing that Hashem is the one that brings everything, that ultimately Hashem is the one that makes everything happen, which is what we're going to segue into the next idea. Shortly, the next thing I want to talk about in the parsha. But a few questions later, after were you honest in business, is Tzipisa LeYeshua. That when you were suffering, did you have that anticipation that Hashem could save me in a moment? Did you have that belief that Hashem loves you and wants to help, right? So these are very fundamental ideas. But obviously, anything that has great potential for good is going to be tough. It means something that we really have to work at. It's not something that just comes automatically to us. And this idea of the koach of Hashem is really seen in the first symbol. When Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron, when Paro speaks to you, it's Perek Zayin, Pasuk Tes, page 324. Ki yedaber aleichem Paro lemar. When Paro is going to speak to you, saying, Tenu lachem mofes, v'amartel Aaron, kaches matcha, v'hashlech l'fnei Faro, v'yihi l'sanim. When Paro is going to say, give them a sign, right? And you're going to say to Paro, say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it in front of Paro, and it will be a Tanin, will be a snake, right? Vayavo Moshe and Aaron, they come to it and they do this, just like Hashem commanded. And Aaron throws his staff in front of Paro, in front of his, and becomes a Sanin, a snake. And he calls to Paro, Paro calls to his wise men, his magicians, and they also do the same thing. And each one throws down their staff and it becomes a Tanin. And Vayiv Lamata Aaron es Matosam. And then what happens? Aaron's Mate swallows their Matos. So, two things. First of all, Hashem didn't say that was going to happen, right? Hashem said, throw down your staff and it's going to become a tanin. So it's interesting, friend. You said a tanin is a snake. Why do you say it's a snake?
That's how I learned it.
Because that's what Rashi says. And that's what the article translates it as. Rashi says, nachash. What's interesting is, we saw this sign already in last week's parsha, right? We saw this sign in last week's parsha. And what was it? What happened in last week's parsha? When Hashem tells Moshe to take the staff and throw it to the floor, what does it become?
It doesn't say tanin.
Right, what does it say? It says in page 306, Perek Dalet, Pasa Gimel, Vayihi l'nachash. It's a snake. What's a tanin? Now, to really understand this, you have to look in Sefer Yechezkel, Perek Chavtes, Pasa Gimel. And Sefer Yechezkel talks a lot about Egypt, talks a lot about what happened, what will happen. V'amarta, so daber v'amarta, ko amar Adonai Elohim, hinini alecha paro melech Mitzrayim, hatanin hagadol, harovetz besoch ya'orov, asher amar li ya'ori v'ani asisini. This is what you should say. Behold, I am upon you, Paro, king of Egypt, hatanim hagadol. The tanim hagadol, the great snake that is crouching in the rivers, that says, to me is the river, and I made it? What? So Tanin isn't a snake. You know what? Again, Rashi says it means a snake. But you know what Tanin most probably is, certainly in this context, in Yechezkel? What animal was seen as the power of the Nile? It was the crocodile. There's the Nile crocodile, right? And you know what's so interesting? That Rabbi Dr. Meir Soloveitchik points this out, and many others have pointed this out before him. Rabbi Natan Slifkin points this out, that a tanin is really a crocodile. But you know what's so fascinating? Here you're coming to show your first sign to Paro, right? One of the most powerful Egyptian gods was called Sobek. Sobek was a person that had the head of a crocodile. And he was the god of the Nile and the god of Egypt's military might. So isn't that fascinating? What's this first showdown really about? And the Baal HaTanya, Zechus Hagen Aleinu, whose yard sites tonight, explains, you know what the Egyptian philosophy was? The Egyptian philosophy was, Hashem was here, Hashem created the world, and then Hashem is gone. Hashem has no more power now. There was a God who created, but the creator doesn't have power now. Now, there are what? The gods of nature. They rule the world. So, at this very first sign, what is Hashem demonstrating? Hashem's demonstrating that you think your power, your might, your Nile. Nile was the economic power, right? It kept the whole land of Egypt fertile, the Nile Delta. Certainly Sobek, this god of the crocodile, the might of Egypt. And Hashem says, Aaron is going to take a staff, the staff of God, right? The Medrash tells us came out of Gan Eden that Adam took with him, that was passed down. The staff that is a manifestation of God's power and God's control. This staff of God is going to become a tanin to show you that what? That your God is nothing. It's all controlled by Hashem. And then when they throw it and they say, no, we have our own sources of power. Look, our staff. So then what does the Medrash say? And this is what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, what happened? It doesn't say that Aaron's tanin swallowed the other taninim. What does it say? It says, Vayivla mate Aaron es matosam. That when all of their crocodiles, their taninim, became staffs again, what happened? And the Medrash says this clearly. Aaron's staff, the stick of Aaron, swallowed the other sticks. Not when they were crocodiles or snakes. It was actually the staff swallowed it. But what's that purpose? What's that showing? Because don't forget, all of the osos and mofsim, all of the signs and wonders that Hashem had Moshe and Aaron perform in Egypt, they weren't about punishing alone. What were they about? They were about teaching lessons to the Jewish people and teaching lessons also to the Egyptians. That's what this was about. Teaching the lessons to the Egyptians and the Jewish people. And this first lesson of the Tanin, of the crocodile, of Sobek, this Egyptian god of power, right, is for Hashem to show his power is all mine. Where do you think he gets power from? And this is a lesson also for the Jewish people, obviously. This is something that we all have to recognize. You know, when we spoke about that first question that we're asked in the Bezdin Shalmala, Nasosa v'nasata be'emuna, do you believe that Hashem is the source of everything? As the Ramban famously says in Parshas Vayeshev that we've quoted many times, Hagezera emes v'acharitzu sheker, that the God's decree is what's true, that's what's going to happen. All the effort we put in, it can't move the Gezera of God. We put in efforts because we have to put in hishtadlus. That's how the world works. But ultimately, everything is from Gzeira of Hashem. And that's why this staff, you know, you could call it a wand when you think about it, right? Where do they get this magical? I mean, this is some mad. I mean, that's what this really sounds like. But it's the opposite. There's no independent power. This isn't the Elder Wand from Harry Potter. What is this? This staff is the manifestation of Hashem's power in this world. That's what the wand is. And that's why this wand is going to become a tanin. Anything you think is powerful, where do you think it's from? That's what Hashem is making very clear. And that's why each and every one of the makos is really about teaching a different lesson of faith. And that's why also, you know, many point out, Rabbi Dr. Soloveitchik points out and others, that each makah attacked a different one of the Egyptian gods. Each makah. As we said, the Nile was Sobek. The Tzfardea actually was the Egyptian goddess of fertility, right? The Egyptians threw the Jewish babies into the Nile. They were going to sort of control the population of the Jews. Oh, the god of Egyptian fertility. And of course, Makas Choshech, Ra, the sun god, right? There is no sun god. Hashem saying, I'm going to extinguish your sun god. I mean, so each one of the makos, you could look at it that way. But we know that when we talk about the makos, so in each one of the makos, there is a fascinating debate that we really only talk about to really understand the makos. So if they're really teaching us lessons, so what's interesting is, remember there's a debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, Seder night. I know we have to move a few months forward into Seder night, right? Don't worry, we're not at Pesach yet, I know. Don't worry, friend, you're just back from Israel. We're not going to give you a hard time. Don't worry, on Shabbos, some people got upset when I referred to Pesach. But we know that Rabbi Eliezer says each makkah was really four makkos. Rabbi Kiva says each makkah was really five makkos. What does this mean? Each makkah is four, each makkah is really five? So what we have to know, actually, we spoke about Mishnah Yomis on Shabbos, that it was the beginning of a new cycle of learning two Mishnahs a day. Today's Mishnah Yomis tells us a very fascinating halacha related to this week's parsha. It's a Mishnah that's also, we say, on Seder night. Amir Belazar ben Azariah, Hare ani keven shivim shana, I'm like 70 years old, and I was never zocha to say Kriya Shema at night until Ben Zoma taught me that every day a Jew has a mitzvah to remember the Exodus in the morning, and remember the Exodus at night. Why? Why do we have to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim in the morning and Yetzias Mitzrayim at night? Why is that so significant? We know the Baal HaTanya, again, the Alter Rebbe of Lubavitch, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, whose Yahrzeit is tonight, explains in the Tanya and in many sources. Because we're always going through Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yetzias Mitzrayim wasn't a one-time event. Yetzias Mitzrayim is happening all the time. Because Meitzar are boundaries, constrictions, the things that are holding us back. Yetzias Mitzrayim means that every day we have to know, we have the koach to break free of the things that are holding us back. And so there's a beautiful teaching that the Baal Tanya refers to, and others also talk about this. It's based on many Rishonim talk about. What does it mean that each makkah was four? Was four. So Zokt, Rishonim already talk about this. The Abarvanel, the Abu Draham, the Ritva, is that, and you find this in the Rambam also, you find this in many places, that there are four fundamental elements that make up all of physical existence. What are they? Esh, Ruach, Mayim, and Afar. Fire, wind, water, and dirt. These are the four elements. And this is a staple in medieval philosophy. This is something that we find all over the place. But in Torah, it takes on a different level. So the way many understand Rabbi Eliezer saying is that every makkah affected all aspects of nature. All of the four fundamental elements that made up this, you know, this natural phenomenon. What does Rabbi Akiva say? There was a fifth level? What is that? So there's something that in the Jewish tradition is known as the Koach HaHiyuli. HaHiyuli. I know Yulai is July. Koach HaHiyuli is the most fundamental, it's like matter. It's the most fundamental building block of all of existence. So Rabbi Akiva said it wasn't only in the four elements, but each makkah also affected the Koach HaHiyuli, the very building block of nature, right? Right, what we would refer to in a physical sense, perhaps matter, right? So comes the Baal Tanya and he says that this idea that the makos, yes, of course, what the Rishonim say and early Achronim say, that each maka existed on all the different levels of the elements, Eish, Ruach, Mayim, and Afar, and on the deepest level of the Koach Yuli, but Zakt the Balatanya, that there are four levels of existence that we all exist on. He says there's the Ma'asi, actions, Hergashi, our feelings, emotions, Sichli, intellectual, and what you could refer to as Pinimi, like the psychological self, the inner self, right? And the Balatanya says that when we say each Maka was really four makos, when we talk about the healing that each maka brought and the lessons that each maka brought, each maka connected to us on each level, on the ma'asi, physical, and when we talk about our spiritual lives, right? Part of our spiritual life is ma'asi, right? There are a lot of mitzvos that are action-based. There are mitzvos that are hergashi, emotion-based, love of God, fear of God. There are mitzvos that are, of course, sichli, intellectual. We have to learn Torah, we have to think, right? And of course, the fourth level of panimi, the inside life that we have, recognizing the spiritual life, the psychological self, meaning that we're much more than just the sum of the parts. There's something much greater, that inner life that we have. And comes Rabbi Akiva, and he says, what is the Chomer HaYuli? What is this fundamental, basic building block? He goes, that is the deepest part of the soul, of totally giving ourselves over to Hashem. And so therefore, when we talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim, when we talk about the Makos, when we talk about the healing that's brought through Yetzias Mitzrayim and all of the Osos and Mofsim, all of these miracles that Hashem did, what we have to recognize is that on every level, they set us free. These aren't only things that are going to free us physically, but emotionally, intellectually, psychologically, and in the deepest, deepest spiritual way as well. And this is why Yetzias Mitzrayim is something that we have to recognize takes place every day. And that's why this time that we find ourselves, and we spoke about it at Shalosh Shudos, is known in Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus as Shovavim. Shovavim in the leap year, Shovavim Tat, it's an acronym for Shemos, the weeks of Shemos, Ve'era, Bo, Bishal, Chisra, Mishpatim. In the leap year, the energy is drawn into Truma and Tetzaveh. And in the Sifrei Kabbalah, in the Sifrei Chassidus, it says that there's a koach during these weeks for a person to identify what they're a slave to and totally, totally set themselves free. That's what you can do during these weeks. And why? Because what are we reading in the parshios this week? Every parsha brings a spiritual energy with it. And so the spiritual energy of the weeks of Shemos, Ve'er, Bo, B'Shal, Chisra, Mishpatim, and in the leap year it extends into Terumah and Tetzaveh, what are these energies? Of recognizing that there's nothing that can hold us down. To recognize that Hashem, Ani Hashem, V'idatem ki Ani Hashem, and you will know that I am Hashem. And Yediya doesn't only mean to know something intellectually, right? Yediya is the deepest level of connecting to something. And so this is when we read these parashas, this is what we have to realize, what's going on. One example that we've discussed in the past, if you remember, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and again, from based on the Torah of the Baal Tanya, says well, the first makkah, mayim, the first makkah is turning water into blood. What does that mean? And he says very simply, now remember, we did this, I think last year, maybe it was 2 years ago, I don't know, I thought we learned it not too long ago. You'll turn to your notes and see, and Parshas Ve'era, what we had. But what does water represent? So the Rambam actually says in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah that water represents kriros, being cool and cold and calm and collected, right? That's what water is, right? Stillness of water. It's a certain almost coldness to the person. And what's blood? What is, when we say a person's hot-blooded, right? What does that mean? It means the person's passionate, person's very fiery, right? Blood rushing to their... So the very first makkah was about what? Was the healing of taking our coldness and turning it into passion. And this is the beginning of entry into service of God, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says. When you think about what it means to serve God, a person can say, what do you mean? I keep Shabbos. I don't violate Shabbos. I make Kiddush. I do everything. But is there a passion for Shabbos? Is there excitement for Shabbos? Right, the difference the Chafetz Chaim famously said between a person who is Shomer Shabbos, they guard Shabbos, I'm not going to violate, versus a person who is Mekadesh Shabbos, the person who sanctifies Shabbos, right? You know, think about it. When you want to do something, the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, we discuss this, where is this often seen, having a passion for something? And how beautifully and how nicely do we try and do mitzvos? You know, sometimes a person's like, yeah, you know, I'll get whatever, Lulav and Esrog, I'll do whatever, I'll get... But yet, tell me, if you're buying a gift for someone you really love and really care about, do you say, yeah, flowers are fine, the flowers are flowers. Eh, gift, right? Oh, care. The kid really care, the person really care. Is that how we buy gifts for people we love and care about deeply? Of course not. Of course not. We want it to be beautiful. We put so much into it. We're excited by it. Aren't you excited even to buy the gift, excited that the person's going to love it? So Lubavitcher Rebbe says, the very beginning of service of God is to try and find that passion. And that's what it means. The first makkah sets us free from that kriris, that coldness, from mayim to dam, to bring the passion, to bring the excitement, for us to be, you know, moved and hot-blooded, if you will, in our service of God. So this is just a little bit of the opening as to what's going on in Parshas Va'era. This is just a little bit of understanding the give and take between Moshe at the end of Shemos, the beginning of the era, understanding that a tanin, granted, as Fran said, Rashi said, it's a snake, but there are those disagree, and from the Pasuk in Yechezkel would imply that a tanin is not a snake, and if it was a snake, why just not use the same word that the Chumash used the Parsha before, nachash, to say snake? But no, there's something about the power of Egypt and Sobek and the Nile crocodile, this Egyptian god representing might and the Nile that is being swallowed up by the staff of God. And then recognizing that this is really about all the makos. All the makos weren't to punish. They were to teach lessons to. And this is something, that's why it wasn't only for the Egyptians, it was also for us to free us and to instruct us on a physical level, emotional, intellectual, psychological, and the deepest spiritual level to really set us free and to give us the guidance how to meaningfully serve God. And that's what we should do each and every day when we have to recognize every morning and every night when we're supposed to say Shema to accept Hashem, it's also remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? Because when you accept Hashem as your king and then you say Yetzias Mitzrayim, you realize with Hashem as your king, anything's possible. Anything's possible. And that's what we all have to realize. Anything's possible. Go. Thanks so much. Have a good night, everyone.